Commission's Water Issues Committee for April 12th, 2023. This meeting will be held in person, and as a convenience for the public, the meeting may also be accessed by Zoom webinar and will be available either by computer or telephone audio as indicated. Because this is an in-person meeting and the Zoom component is not required, but rather is being offered as a convenience, if there are any technical issues during the meeting, this meeting will continue and will not be suspended. I could ask Director Rowe to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Put your hand over your heart, behalf of me. I pledge allegiance of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
Mr. General Manager, I'm aware that there was one item received. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me step back. Roll call first.
Roll call. Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Yeo. Director Tran.
Here.
Director Rowe. Director Bilodeau. Director Sheldon, Director Meeks, Director Amezcua.
Present.
Director Green, you do have a quorum.
Great, thank you. As I was saying, we do have one item that was received too late to be agendized. I trust there are no others, Mr. General Manager?
There are not.
Okay. And we would conduct the vote for that now. We would conduct the vote to authorize this item to be added to the agenda.
Correct.
Okay.
Item just for point of clarification.
The agenda item we're adding. Which item would you like to add? I was messing with my microphone. I'm sorry.
Okay. I have the
item. Yeah. What item? We could certainly do that. We can vote to do it, but we didn't know what we're adding.
I don't think there is anything to add. So just move on. So that to the late modification.
Okay. All right. That streamlines things. So we'll go ahead to visitor participation. The time has been reserved at this point in the agenda for persons wishing to comment for up to 3 minutes to the board of directors on any item that is not on this agenda, but within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. Are there any persons in attendance who wish to address the board? And Madam Clerk, is there anyone remotely?
I see no hands raised.
Hands.
There we go.
A bit of a bumpy start, but we're ready for the consent calendar at this point.
Okay.
Director Rowe, pull up item number eight. Okay. So moved.
Second motion.
Is there any discussion to be had on the balance of the consent members? No.
Both are moving forward on. I wanted to talk about
it. Okay. You have the second too?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you. Yes, please conduct a roll call.
Okay, roll call. Director Whitaker. Director Nguyen.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Rowe. Director Bilodeau.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear a discussion of the items, so I'll punt on this vote.
This one is for the remainder of the consent calendar.
They're accepting item eight.
Okay, just give me one moment. Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with five yes votes.
Mr. Marcus, I wanted to ask about the item number eight, which is related to SARCA. The question I have is this it? The final agreement?
I think there's just one more agreement, and it's an agreement between OCWD, MODOC, three cities regarding how extraordinary supply would be shared amongst the three cities and the rest of the producers.
And so we're not there yet.
We're not there yet. We're very, very close. But as far as the agreements with SAPA and the other banking agencies, this would be the final.
Yay!
The final agreement. So, yes.
How long did it take?
Long enough.
Part of your legacy. Thank you. I have no other questions. I'll move the item.
So moved. Any second?
I'll second.
Thank you.
The voting members are Director Whitaker, Director Nguyen, Director Tran, Director Rowe, and Director Bilodeau.
My apologies.
This is Director Nguyen. I'll second that motion.
Roll call, Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Nguyen.
Yes.
Director Tran. Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Just a quick point of order, Mr. Chairman. Madam Clerk, if you can show me as a abstention on item 4 due to government code 84308. I apologize. I'm an alternate on the committee and I wasn't fully prepared. I've read it carefully and I need to abstain on 4. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
That ends our consent calendar items. The item for discussion is an informational item. The proposed fiscal year 22-23 capital improvement program budget.
Much, Mr. Chairman, and Chris Olson will be presenting this item to the committee this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mike. Good afternoon, Chair Whitaker, members of the committee. This is the Capital Improvement Program, the CIP, for the upcoming fiscal year 23-24. Looking at the budget schedule that you've seen many times already, we're at the CIP portion. Even though it shows producers, we had a little change. We did the producers meeting this morning going over the budget. There were no comments. Going beyond this, there will be general fund budget discussion tomorrow at admin finance, and then the follow-up public hearing to set the RA and BPP and approved budget at next week's board meeting. Here's the pie chart. So of our $269.4 million budget, the CIP is $101.1 million of that. And of that 101.1, there are 19 CIP projects, and these projects are funded through long-term debt, grants, PAYGO, WIFIA, and SRF loans. For all of our CIP projects, they go through the same process with multiple board actions. So we start with a pre-design, feasibility study, engineer's report, CEQA. We'll bring that back to the board to approve it, and then get the recommendation to go out for design RFPs to start the plans and specifications. Once that's complete, we come back to the board to authorize construction contract documents and go out to bid. So that happens for every one of the CIP projects that we do. Here is the summary list of the 2023-24 CIP projects. It's predominantly PFAS, as you can see. So I'm going to go over the top three, the highest three in cost for the PFAS treatment systems. Of the 101.1, the PFAS is $99 million. So we're going to focus just on that for the next upcoming slides. And we're going to start off with the city of Anaheim, where their activity is going to be all construction. And this coming fiscal year, we're expecting to spend about $50 million of the total $117 million capital costs for City of Anaheim. And now they are doing two phases, as you know. They are doing a phase A, which is 8 wells at 4 locations. You'll see the blue. That is a well site that is currently operational. We do have the remaining Energy Field, Boysen Park, and the Linda Vista site, which has 5 wells. So here is a picture of that La Palma operational site. It's a three systems, 6 vessels for the La Palma well. And the big one that's ongoing right now is the Linda Vista site. This is 10 systems. This is serving those 5 wells that are surrounding our Anaheim Lake. And they're working on the above ground piping, things like valves, the raw and treated water process piping. They're going to be doing the hydrostatic testing coming up, working on the operations building. They are planning on having these systems resin loaded within the next month and be operational in May. So that'll be a big system to become operational very soon. And beyond that, for the phase A, the remainder are the Energy Field and Boys and Parkwell sites, which they are still planning to be complete and operational by this summer. So that's phase A, and this is phase B. It is 6 wells at 5 sites, and all of these are in construction. You have your Brookhurst, Willow Park, Downtown, Catella, Santa Cruz sites. Now, the Santa Cruz site has 2 wells, 60 and 61. These are recently drilled, constructed wells. And the current order of business is a jack and bore operation to get the pipeline underneath the freeway that's right adjacent to the site. And what that'll do is it'll tie their conveyance system into their treatment system and get it out to distribution. So that's the big work going on with phase B. This is just recently started. Even though, yeah. Correct.
How far is it going and how big is it?
It is a 20-inch diameter pipe. And when you say how far is it going, it's so once it crosses the freeway, goes under the freeway, I believe it's got about a mile. They're upsizing an existing line that's there to replace it. The jack and bore is just the extent of the freeway. Yes. And then beyond that, it'll be an open cut. Yes. Mm-hmm. So for the other sites, they're in the beginning stages. There's some well rehab work going on, site demolition, clearing. And they're planning on having all these sites operational end of this calendar year. So December, maybe spilling into January, February of 2024 for phase B. Next up, we have Tustin PFAS treatment system, where the activity is going to be construction. Now, we just started this one within the last month or two. It's for 4 wells. And those 4 wells are the Vandenberg, the Bonita, Columbus, and Pasadena well. We are expecting $15 million in costs this upcoming fiscal year for a total capital of $25.8 million. Looking at the schematic, you know, this is the centralized treatment plant. So all these wells will be plumbed to the plant that's going to be at their main plant facility. So there's conveyance piping that's involved. And as I mentioned, we've started, there's been some site demolition. There's been interior demolition of the existing pump station. There's electrical components being removed. So all these things are being replaced. This is the well number 3 you see, not part of the program, but on this site, there are wells 3 and 4 that we are working around. And here's an aerial shot of that same site. You can see this is their yard and everything that's been there has been demolished. They're going to start working on underground piping and then start the conveyance piping work itself. This is about 16 to 18 months. More than likely going to spill into 18 to 20 months just because of lead times we've been seeing. But it was always been projected to be about a year and a half contract duration for Tustin to get them up and running. And then finally for this afternoon, this is the Fullerton main plant, where similarly the scope of work is construction for this coming fiscal year. This is for wells 3A and future 7A, which is the second green or orange color there. We're expecting $6 million for the next fiscal year and a total of 13.2. Site work has started, all the necessary over excavation. This is a backwash tank foundation going in. This is the granular activated carbon treatment system. So they're going to be working on the vessel pads, conveyance piping, and here's a shot of just some water piping tie-ins that's happening. And that concludes the presentation This is to receive board comments, and we can take any questions.
I do have a question, and the concentration of all these filtration. You know, Yorba Linda, some that are fairly extensive. Will the treatments happening there have any effect on reducing concentrations of the contaminant of PFAS further downstream in our basin?
Or the volume is not sufficient?
Yeah, so that question has come up, and I think overall it's such a slow moving process. It's not necessarily going to be like a pump and treat situation where it's going to handle that. It's going to take care of what's in the immediate vicinity, but not necessarily, you know, help out downstream what's been going on for decades and decades.
Yeah, I was being analogous to the VOC situation that we had, and I understand there are many unknowns still about PFAS and PFOA, but but I was hopeful, I guess wishful thinking, that perhaps it could prevent some wells from hitting that level, that max. Any other questions? Yes.
Yes, thank you. In terms of the $99 million, which is very daunting. So are there grant applications on file, either from us or from our partners, for all of these 13 projects?
You want me to answer that?
Well, we have the 7 grant applications in with the state. I guess the short answer is no. Not every well has an application because of timing. But where the timing has worked out, we have put in grant applications. So we have 7 applications in the state, their SRF program. They call it principal forgiveness. So it's a grant. We have another application with Water Resources. It's under their SIGRAN program for PFAS cleanup. We have an application with U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, Title 16. We have received money for SOPA for 2 rooms.
And Anaheim has done one.
And then we have the $5 million.
So for the other ones, which we do not have grant applications on file, it's because the project is too far ahead. It's either under construction or so for this $99 million, some of these are already under construction right now.
So if you add it all up, we probably have the potential to get, you know, $30 to $50 million.
Okay.
More.
Thing we are working with Congresswoman Kim's office and Congressman Correa's office to get an earmark for this coming federal fiscal year as well. So there is the potential that we could get another 10 to 18.
They've been great to work with. We're very appreciative. You know, we're all on the same page here, but this is like, it's a big headache. I lay awake at night and think about this, how we're going to pay for all this. I see our rate projections going up, you know, 10% a year, year after year. And it's going to hit our customers very hard. And we just need to do everything we can to try to get OPM, other people's money, as much as possible, and pray that our litigation efforts will bear some fruit.
Thank you, Chairman Whitaker. John, could you articulate a little more detailed as to why certain projects are cut off? What was the rationale on the cutoff criteria? Ask my question wrong. I'm sorry, I didn't ask it correctly. For the funding from the state and some projects being others not, that was what I was referring to. What is the exact criteria why they said yes to no, yes to this and no to that?
that works by chance. It's set aside at that point, but they knew it was going to take years to actually administer the program. But we fought to make it retroactive. We were successful, but they said, okay,
That was when the program was enacted or established or funded or what? So a project that had not been completed construction had a certificate of occupancy or what is the equivalent? Is that, well, what's that? What's the criteria on our part, on our end? I know, so when the money started coming, that's when you can start, but where did we have to be at? Where did the project, where would a project need to be at to be eligible at that date certain?
If the project was 90% finished, then you could still get at least 10%.
Okay, I understand so if it was finished, you'd get 0% as of that date. And what was the rationale for that determination? Is there a rule that says that? That's what I'm asking. Thank you, Kelly.
Through our reclamation, we put in a feasibility study a year ago. They approved it. And a lot of the projects are done that we put into that. But they have said, as long as the project was in the initial feasibility study a year ago, everything's eligible to, even though the work could be done. Criteria was to get all the work, the feasibility study, and get the feasibility. So even though those projects could be complete, we're still eligible.
There's no guideline or requirement of proportionate construction to proportionate funding. They arbitrarily came up with that determination. They were relying on any other dictate from a state statute. That's what they determined. So they could have determined 100%. And they chose not to do that. I'm sure we did. I just find it interesting that, you know, the state that's imposing these projects on us isn't willing to, you know, use the funds to help pay for them.
Their general feeling.
Thank you, Greg. You had your thank you.
Director Rowe.
Traffic stuff out there. What are we going to hear for? Did we hear from them already?
We've heard from the SABA one, the BWR one we'll hear from this summer, the 7 applications to the State Water Board. That process is very slow. Hopefully by summer, fall, we'll hear from them. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, we're waiting for the next round of projects and funding to occur.
And we're still let our Congress members and senators, both state and feds, to know that we need this money to help offset the cost from this damage that we've been.
It's the number one priority when Mike goes out and meets with them, yeah.
When did we submit this thing?
The 7 grants or applications I've been talking about, that was due by the end of Christmas last year. So they're all in process.
Well, for 9 months from then.
Sorry.
You said late summer, fall.
Right.
9 months.
Yeah. It's a slow process. A lot of people are applying.
Yeah. You think there's any?
I have one comment to add, which is
this occurred before I returned to this board for the most part. And I just think this agency reacted responsibly and rapidly and really didn't have any other options other than that. And so I think it's commendable that that happened. Our state legislature and Congress, much less so in terms of reacting promptly to what their view to our drinking water systems. So, it's well taken, your questions, Director Sheldon.
So,
sure.
Yeah. There was an obligation to inform their constituents of the health risk, but there was no obligation to actually remediate that. So we did have options for some to not expense money. But I do agree with your point, though, that we acted with all discernment and care and compassion for what was going on, and we stepped down and did. But we did have options not to act.
Now, I hear what you're saying, but I think also from a financial standpoint, we acted
to have some of our groundwater replaced by meltwater. The year when allocations were extremely low, and the state is trying to be able to have the impacts of increasing costs for all of the agencies that purchase water from us. And it would damage our financials in turning this bottom.
The Army Replacement District in LA County, we sent a notice of water. That was the
I guess it'll remain to be seen whether that was a better alternative or not. Now, I appreciate the dialogue. Right. I just think our finances depend a great deal on the total volumes that we provide to our customers. And you could start moving in the wrong financially fairly quickly. And same here.
I think the point Director Whitaker brings up is if the retail agencies chose to shut their wells down as they exceeded the location, which they did, that would have a severe impact on OCWD because there would be a lack of pumping groundwater, which is where we derive most of our revenue. So we'd have to increase the RA to cover our fixed costs. We would have had to increase the RA to cover our fixed costs.
And then, but if they chose not to shut them down,
you're right.
Anyway, those were other options that were, I don't think, really fully explored. The option just to go and step up and fix it is what we did. That's all.
Okay, and I think that's in part because we see our role as maintaining and preserving and taking care of the basin. This is a basin-wide issue. So.
Doug Reinhart has his hand raised.
Yes. Thank you, Director Whitaker. Just a point of clarification here. Your sound is getting to be really, especially when the speakers are not next to the microphone. And I think you were in error when you, I would like a clarification, when you said that you're providing the virtual as a courtesy because you have active committee members actively participating, which makes it a necessity, as my understanding of the law, that provide the adequate Zoom and sound. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I was relying on the boilerplate here, so I don't know if we need clarification on that point.
Director Whitaker,
do
you
have a question? If I was the one that you couldn't hear, is that better? Does that sound better now? Well, just while we're testing this?
I'm sorry. Yes, when you lean back and then John too, it was hard.
So when
to
I lean more into the microphone, you can hear better, right?
Yes. Thank you.
I'll refer to our counsel. Last question.
Yes, Director Reinhart, real quickly, just the reason we have that boilerplate in there, and I'll just say that, you know, in the past, when we actually did have interruptions, we did stop and try to, you know, reestablish communications, but we're operating under the old rules, pre-COVID rules for teleconferencing, which basically, as long as you have a teleconference site post on the agenda and the director makes that, you know, post the notification, the agenda at that remote location, and the public is able to access that location. You know, if you have an interruption, you can still continue the meeting. Now, we would certainly want to make sure that if there were public participating at those remote sites, that we were able to accommodate them, they were still able to participate. But what you're thinking of, I think, is AB 2449, which allows limited circumstances for participation for good cause or for emergency circumstances. That does require stoppage of the meeting upon an interruption. So it's a little bit different, and I'm happy to talk to you offline if you want to discuss it further.
Okay, because my understanding was if a director is voting, that changes it. But okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for the question. Any other?
Well, with that, we're at the end of our agenda. So I would like to direct that items 1 through 8 be agendized at our next board meeting. And yeah, on the consent calendar at the board meeting. And with that, I would ask if there are any directors' announcements or reports. I saw Director Rowe.
Yes, thank you. We had approved an extension of Dr. Marty Ralph's work for Furo work. They have continuing work going for us. And in the agenda, I saw that there's a reference to the preliminary viability assessment that they did from August of 2021. And I forgot, or I didn't know that that was available. I looked it up, and I think it's a fantastic document that Dr. Ralph and the team has done for that. I recommend other board members take an opportunity to look at it. It's on our website. Okay, PBA and Blucho right off the bat. What it proved to me is it repeatedly kind of said that we have our recharge base and stuff. What we can do to recharge that. And we've had 1,600 acre area in the Anaheim Floor Bay area, which we use 1,100 acres for groundwater recharge. I see a lot of areas around the basins that I think could be graded down and make a bigger basin to store more volume, more surface area. And I would like to challenge the staff to do that. I'd like support from board for staff to look at expanding the 1,100 acre feet recharge area for basins and look at the rest of the 1,600 acres to do so. You have any support for that?
Sure. If we can, you know, take 10, 20% off and really the off of land acquisition.
All right. Minimal. Right. It's like I'm asking this question. I'm sure other people. Oh, knock down the barriers between basins, make it a bigger basin, for example. There's, it's way up the hill.
Yes, it's next to Anaheim Lake.
Well, there's that, you know, so I appreciate your support, Stephen, because I been asking this question for years, Director. I'm sure over
that's no, it's not available.
Acre can get it. I always respond, but since we have all this property, why not look to expand? You know, cheap on appropriate engineering design that we can maybe get 10-20% more storage. You know, the staff do their own assessment. I appreciate the input from staff who've been working these basins their whole careers, what they think they could do to improve it. So I appreciate that. The other point is I understand that staff, through Mike and Mahul's guidance, created a manual for the Talbert Seawater Barrier. And I applaud you for that. It's 50 years has been operating without a manual.
And it's great work that the staff has done. One of the reasons why I got on board in the first place is because in 96, Bill Mills asked me, and along with Roy Herndon, who I've both known for a long time, I said, can you make sure that the injection wells can get, you know, can be in good enough shape that it could take whatever water can get from GWRS? And I said, we'll do. The injection from Water Factory 21 was basically blew up the wells at 100 feet of pressure from day one and damaged the wells. And they only could, instead of developing or using 15 million gallons per day like it was designed to, it could only inject like 3 to 5 MGD for decades, a couple decades, at 30 feet ahead. They were flooding the vaults for years. I come along and fix the wells, and I figure out how to operate the wells so that they wouldn't be flooded again. Simple concept. You watch the Talbert wellhead. It's at about 10 feet below the surface in the vaults. If it gets above 5 PSI from the vault 10 feet below, you have water flooding in your vaults. It's a very simple concept. And I was afraid the staff who was going to operate the wells was going to blow them up again and ruin two years of work, $2 million worth of money that I spent for the district. So that made me mad to say that. So that's why I came on the board, to make sure that the wells wouldn't be blown up again. And I was pleased to finally convince Justin McKeever, who recently retired, technician who's operated these wells for the last 25 years, that he took my basic guidance, like no more than 10 feet ahead or 5 PSA at the wellhead. And he should not have water flowing in the vaults again, damaging the soils again and ruining the well. So he did that. I was pleased. I read the manual that you've been operating at 10 PSI, which is twice as high as what I think is acceptable. Should have better protections for that. And there's got to be a way that somebody who knows soil mechanics on staff can figure out how you can inject at higher pressures in the lower zones, like you think you can. It's very simple. But watch the wellhead pressure so you don't have flooding in the vaults. I know Talbert's really complicated because you have interconnection with the corroded casings and liners, the whole mess that it is, I'm very familiar with. But I think that's a worthwhile effort to operate the barriers better rather than the keep it simple, stupid, no higher than 10 PSI. So I look forward to having staff, you know, kind of, I'd say, look at what the soil mechanics is for the situation. It's a classic test for somebody who knows soil mechanics. What is the highest pressure you can put into each of these aquifers at depth, whatever depth that they are? So thank you.
Director President Green.
Yes, Mike and I went to the LAFCO meeting this morning, and the commission voted, well, Supervisor Doe abstained, all the rest unanimously voted to for the staff recommendation and to move forward with our focus MSR.
Seeing no other questions or reports. Yes.
There were speakers. Director Netterhood and Director Seckel spoke on behalf of MODOC. Director Sandra Jacobs from Santa Margarita spoke. President Green and myself spoke as well. And there was one representative from Meyer WD staff.
And if we're finished with that one, general managers' reports or announcements?
Nothing
about Friday, huh?
Oh. yes. Okay, I do have something to report. Thank you for reminding us, Mr. Chair, and a couple other things. You probably saw when you were driving in, we're starting to set up some tents for the dedication on Friday. The program begins at 11 a.m. and ends at 1 p.m. You should have received information via email for parking passes, and the directors will be parking up in the front area right next to the building. Should be a wonderful event.
and we're very much looking forward to it. The other thing I'd like to point out is at next week's board meeting, it is important for us to have all 10 directors present at the board meeting, because one of the actions will require 8 votes. So it's a little bit out of, it's a super majority of the votes on the RA. No, on the ARA, you're going to correct me.
BPP and BEA.
See, I was close. The BPP and the BEA. Is 8? Yeah. In the ARA, yeah. So it is important to have as many directors there as possible. So I would just remind the board of that. It's the one board meeting of the year where we do have a 8 vote requirement. I don't know. I'm looking. I think Roger should be back by then. I know, unfortunately, Director Yeo will be missing the event on Friday, but he should be back for the board meeting the following week. That's it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
I think about 340 to 400. Probably about a third of them, I'm guessing. It should. Yes, employees will be parking next door on top the primary clarifiers at OC Sand. So there should be no employee parking on campus.
Thank you. And I would just add one kicker on the event on Friday at our GWRS meeting. We were all advised to get here early if possible, because it could reduce the choke that we might have on late arrivals for the event. And that would ease the parking requirements as well. And one last comment, acronyms are useful in local government, but they can drive you crazy sometimes too. And with that, if there's nothing further, we are adjourned. Oh, yeah. Well, what was that? Was I checking?